Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Mommy Oyoyo is a platform for the modern African woman to talk about anything and everything related to motherhood in today's world. Join me, Berry Dakara, every week as we tackle the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and everything else in between. Mommy Oyoyo is your plug for real life gist and experiences about being a mother, African style. Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. As usual, it's me, your best friend, your favorite podcaster, your favorite Mommy Oyoyo in the whole wide world, Berry Dakara. This is episode 49, and it's a really good one. I feel like, you know, since I got back from break, like, we've been doing so awesome. I just want to shout out everyone who has been listening because we crossed 7,000 listens last week. I'm so excited, and I'm very grateful for everyone who has been listening, everyone who has been sharing, and thank you so much to the people that left reviews on Apple Podcast last week. I'm still looking for a few more reviews, so please, if you listen on Apple, please just take some time. Like, it's just going to take you like 30 seconds. Just take 30 seconds to please rate and review the Mommy Oyoyo podcast on Apple iTunes. And I think on Spotify, you can do the same thing as well. And other podcast players, I would really appreciate it. Let's see what has been happening. Today is Thursday, September 3rd. I've been working for 9 days straight, and I'm going to be working again tomorrow, which will be like you guys is today when you're listening to this podcast. But yeah, I've been working nonstop for 9 days now. I am so exhausted. I'm really tired. But you know what? We just keep pushing. We're working hard for, you know, to provide for family, to earn a living, and to plan for the future. So, you know, thank God that I have a job. Thank God that I'm earning an income. But, you know, it is a little bit tiring. I can't wait for the weekend to come. Let's see. Today's episode features a very old friend. Her name is Iro. And we go way back. We went to college together in Boston. And the reason why I wanted to speak with her is because she is a C-level executive, as in chief executive this and chief marketing this and chief. Listen, she's one of those you know, very hardworking women. She is a go-getter. She has multiple businesses that she has started, and I wanted to talk to her about how she manages to do everything that she does while raising her twin girls as also a single mom. And let me tell you, our conversation was so awesome, not just because we've been friends for a long time, but Iro is such a wise woman. Like, she spat so much wisdom on this in our conversation, and I know that you will take at least one or two nuggets from it. I know that you'll be impacted positively, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a working mom, whether you're even a dad that's listening, or even if you don't have children. I really believe that my conversation with Iro will positively impact you. So I'm gonna stop talking now. I hope you guys enjoy the episode, and have a wonderful rest of your day. All righty, we are recording. Hi, Iro.
Hi, Anita.
How are ya?
I'm fine, thank you. It's really good to catch up again. It's been so long.
It has been very, very long. To my Mommy Oyoyo audience, this is Iro, and she and I, we go way back. Like, maybe way 17 back. Years, maybe?
Yeah, 2003.
Yeah, 17 years. That's how long I've known her. We've always kept in touch and everything. And I'm so glad that she's on the podcast today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so let's just start very quickly. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you, who you are, what you do, your family life, and all your 5,000 million gazillion businesses. Listen, guys,
when she tells you what she does, all the things she has her hands in, you will understand what I'm saying. 5 million gazillion. Because every other day, I get on WhatsApp or Instagram, and she's promoting some new business. I'm like, another one.
It just can't stop.
Like, now is it only you that will have multiple streams of income? We have multiple streams of income. How far?
Very important. Okay, so my name is Irogama Oboferebo. I'm a serial entrepreneur, I guess, based on what Anita has just said and the fact that I do a lot of things. But let me start with my family life. So I am the second girl, family of eight, third child. I have a degree in biology and psychology with a master's in public health and health promotion. So what do? I work in different sectors. I'll start with my proper 9-to-5 job, my serious job. And this one is, it's a marine logistics company. We own about 11 vessels that are working deep offshore, supporting the oil exploration and production process in Nigeria. So I'm chief operating officer of that business. It also happens to be a family business as well. Then we have a security company. It was established in 1999. It's quite old. It's really, really old, a couple of decades actually. I joined them in 2010 as executive director. I've been in that capacity since then. And we have about 500 private security guards working at different locations within River State. That's second business. Then third business, which is my baby, my own vision, my own project. It's called Heaven. So Heaven was established in 2009, a beauty brand. We started off selling hair extensions, then we evolved to making our own products in America and then South Africa. Now we're exploring manufacturing within Nigeria, given, you know, the fact that the government is very pro made in Niger. So there are quite a few policies and interventions as well as funding that's available for us. So Heaven now has two salons, and we have a spa in the city of Port Harcourt. We've created ourselves into a lifestyle brand, an aspirational brand in River State. And then my latest baby that just emerged this year, actually, it's called Southern Blaze Logistics. We are an innovative courier service, starting off with dispatch riding, but then we're exploring innovative ways of couriering items that require preservation, which is something that we don't really have in Nigeria. So you want to move a cake or something that needs to stay fresh from one part of the country to another without physically sending someone to that place to pick it up and bring it for you. We want to be able to provide you with innovative solution to do that and meet that need. So yeah, so this is basically what I do. And then, okay, so that's on the corporate and profit side. So on the not-for-profit side, I'm actually part of two very special foundations. One is called the Rivers Professional Foundation. And basically, both of them were created during this COVID period because we saw a need in River State and wanted to fill that need. And for the RPF, we are doing medical intervention. So we've raised funds that has helped to establish ICUs and isolation centers in the University of Port Harcourt Teaching Hospital and River State University of Port Harcourt Teaching Hospital, which used to be BMH. So we've done quite a lot of work, done a lot of donations, a lot of awareness creation and all of that. We're still doing a lot there. So it's very exciting for me to be part of that group. And then the second foundation is called The Reach, which is Reach Every Available Communal Household. So we spend the last 15 weeks every Saturday feeding 300 families. We've prepared these food relief packs that have all the staple items. This is raw food, which we give to, that can feed a family of five for at least 2 weeks. And so we go out, we've gone to different riverine communities, taking speedboats to different places. I've been to parts of River State that I had never been in my entire 35 years on earth. It was just been an amazing experience to just put a smile on these people's faces, the vulnerable. And so that's what I'm a trustee in that other foundation, The Reach. And so for me, these are programs that are extremely dear to my heart now. And so, in the middle of all of that, I have two children whom I love very much, and I also find time to raise and impact their lives as well. So that's me in a nutshell.
Well done. Iro, well done. I really don't say it enough. I really don't say it enough, but you are so, like, I sit back sometimes and I'm just like, how on earth does she do it? Like, you have your hand, you know, in so many businesses. You've mentioned your girl. She's a mom to twin girls who are, 2 months or so, 2.5 months older than Coco, you know. And sometimes I really just sit down and I'm just like, wow. Like, Iro is really, really trying. And just to get into the interview, I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure people want to know, like, how on earth do you do it? Like, okay, what is a typical day like for you? Like on a regular, let's say on a regular working day, maybe pre-COVID and now with COVID, and when the girls are with you versus when they're with their father.
So the typical, is this pre-COVID you said?
Let's see, yeah, give us a
okay, so let's say pre-COVID. Okay, so pre-COVID, obviously I was going to the office, going into the office. So typical day, the girls are in school, so they're nursery one. So let's say, so we would all, it's a weekday, we're obviously leaving the house together. So starting up very early, I wake up early, do prayers together. And then nanny kicks in. So while I'm taking the shower, the girls are getting the shower and then they're having breakfast. I come out and join them. And then we're jumping into the car because they need to be in school by 8. And I need to be at work before 8:30 as well. So we're racing and in the car, that's the bonding time really, because the next time I'm going to see them, it'd be probably just catching them before they go to bed. So I was singing in the car, watching Barney and doing all kinds of things, get to school, drop them off, and then I go to work. So nanny and driver pick them up from school. And then some days, if I'm lucky, I try to leave the office by 5, 6. If I am unlucky, I can be in the office till 7. And by the time I'm getting home, bedtime is 9. So by the time I'm getting home, they're already showered, they're already eating, and they're just like winding down before bedtime. And then that's when mommy comes and throws her shoes, throws her bag, so wherever, jumps into the room and then jumps into the bed. And then we're all playing for maybe 30 or 45 minutes, depending on how lucky I was to get home, whatever time I got home before they would go to bed. And then, you know, bedtime, say our prayers, and then leave them to go to sleep. So that's like a typical day. And that's when I am in town. So other times I'm traveling, you know, because of our kind of work. I have to be in Lagos. Most times my clients are in Lagos. So I found myself traveling quite a bit. So morning times were very precious. Morning time, very, very important for me, because that's when I know I have them and I can give them some time. And then that trying to get home at least before they go to bed, if I can get 1 hour in to just spend that time bonding and playing and tumbling all over the place before they sleep. That's a typical day for me.
Okay, so that was pre-COVID days. Now that COVID is here.
Oh my God. Now that COVID is here, first of all, no more going to the office. I haven't been to the office since March. So I've worked from home literally every day since then. So it's been an amazing experience for me, to be very honest, because I get to, I get to be here every day from morning to evening, literally, like, because nobody's going anywhere, right? So we're together. And I think it's interesting for them that they wake up in the morning there, because they were used to knowing that, okay, mommy goes away for a while and the mommy doesn't come back till it's dark. And then suddenly they hear my voice downstairs from morning till night. They're hearing me on the phone, they're hearing me, you know, having meetings and things like that. Or they're coming down the stairs and they're seeing me because the dining table faces the stairs. So it's like now they're getting used to just knowing that even though they're upstairs, mommy's definitely downstairs, mommy's around. And I think that it's telling, definitely impacting our relationship. It's amazing, like, how much time we're getting to spend. So if I don't have meetings, they're downstairs with me, either they're playing, watching TV while I'm working, but we're just together, you know, we're just in this, just being in the same space is actually amazing. So in the mornings, we wake up. Now I have only one nanny, so wake up in the morning, we join them for breakfast, you know, help them out. Feed one child, feed the other. Then I go start my day. I still put them on a regimen, even though they're not going to the school, as it were. So we still have the school time in the morning. So they have things that exercises, educational exercises that they must do during that morning time, because that's when you can get their attention. So either they're coloring or they're painting or they're writing, practicing their sounds, their numbers, or they're watching a phonics video that's teaching them how to recognize their sounds and things like that. So I'm quite strict with that. So nanny helps with that. And then it's lunchtime. And then if I don't have any meetings scheduled for lunchtime, I go up as well, join them during lunch, you know, feeding, spending that time. Then it's nap time. So while they're napping, obviously I'm coming back to work, I'm doing my doing what I need to do. Then they wake up, and then it's outdoor playtime. So I try to really give them a balanced time experience, even though we're having to all function from home. So they go out and they play, and then that's where mommy now has some peace and some quiet to really just dig into her work and everything. And then they come back, and then we, you know, it's time for dinner, then we're playing, and then bath time, mom's giving them a bath, and then we're coming back watching TV, playing on the iPad before it's bedtime, and then mommy excuses herself to go have some mommy time, walking or something. So so this is definitely, you can obviously see that my involvement is a lot more increased during COVID, thanks to the work from home opportunity, than pre-COVID. I'm not traveling, I'm not going anywhere, so I'm here, I'm present, and it's just totally, totally amazing. And it's nice, because I think the age where they are is also very beautiful, because now they're talking, they're expressive, they're having conversations. You can actually have a proper conversation. They're telling me things, they're sharing their what they think and their experiences with me, they're asking me questions, you know. So it's really a beautiful time for me to be available available for them the way that I am now.
Fantastic. No, I definitely agree. Right now, though, I've sent Coco back to daycare. But in a previous conversation I had with someone, you know, yes, these have been challenging times, but how, you know, when will we ever have a time like this again where we are forced, in a sense, to be at home with our families, to be at home with our children, like day in, day out? Like, it hasn't happened before, unless you're a stay-at-home mom and your children are, you know, stay-at-home, being homeschooled. Most of us have never had this kind of time or this kind of experience, this type of opportunity to really be at home with our children, just day in, day out, you know, bonding and everything. And I mean, yes, I've sent Coco back to daycare, and sometimes I miss her. Sometimes it's like, well, at least I can work, you know.
I know,
at work, you know. But I mean, this time has been really, really eye-opening, and there has been a silver lining to, you know, being forced to stay at home. So thank you for sharing that. Now, when the kids are with their dad, you just, you know, you do your own thing, right?
Yeah, so when the kids are with their dad, oh my gosh, I think even my nanny has, we all have it so good, because the nanny gets to take some time off, she goes home to see her family, and then I have a very quiet house, so everybody goes away, everybody. I'm the only one at home, I can walk around, you know, no clothes on if I want to, and it's quiet. I miss them, please don't get me wrong. I love my children, and I get to miss them. In fact, I think the first day is usually the hardest, coming back and, you know, I go into their room and I probably shed some tears knowing that, oh, they're not there. I can smell them and everything. But by the second day, I think I'm fine. And then I'm now enjoying the time that I have. I mean, there have been times where they've gone to him for 4 weeks, three weeks, you know, at a time. And I mean, I had to learn how to cope. I had to learn how to survive. I had to learn how to use that time well. And just to see it as a gift, as opposed to pine and whine for them and be miserable. So I use the time extremely well, and saying that, do the things that you ordinarily. So I get to work like a horse without feeling guilty. I can work, I can do whatever I want and not feel that, oh, I need to spend time with them small people, you know, and I'm ignoring them. So I've learned how to just gift myself that time when they're with their dad. Yes.
Okay, so offline, I'm going to get tips from you.
sure.
Almost in the same boat, and, you know, sharing custody of kids and everything. So I'll definitely get some some tips on, you know, coping mechanisms. Although I think I'm doing pretty well. At first, you know, there's this almost fear, you know, when they're going with their father, like, oh my God, what if they don't want to come back? Oh my God, da, 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 da.
Are they going to love him more than they love you?
But I think I got to a point where it's just like, you know what, they have a right to be with their, you know, these children have a right to be with their other parents, and yes, it gives me some time off. So if I've been complaining or saying that, oh, I don't have time for this, or I don't have time for that, well, this child is away with their father, at least let me focus on other things that I want to do. So thank you for sharing that. I have another question. How do you approach handling multiple priorities, you know, caring for your children and managing your time to attend to everything that you have to do? Like, what kind of help? You've mentioned that you have a nanny, but I'm sure that you also have help at work. So, like, what kind of help have you had with, you know, balancing your work and balancing motherhood?
Because I always talk about structure. So whenever I get this question, okay, no, actually I lied. Let me backtrack a little bit before I get to the part about structure. I want to just deconstruct the myth that is the work-life balance, because I get that quite a few times because of how busy I am and how many things I do and the fact that I do have a family life. I get people who ask me, so how do you, you know, work-life balance? And I say the first thing first is to accept and embrace the fact that there is no balance in work and life. So you just have to confront and deconstruct that myth and accept that it doesn't exist. And why do I say that? I say that at every given point in time, something must give. So the balance really is understanding what should give at every point in time. That is the balance. But saying that you would have all the balls on the same level held up high at the same time lies. So I feel that because a lot of people do not embrace that fact or do not understand it and then begin to work within that bandit of understanding, they end up beating themselves up. You know, they end up feeling guilty, they end up, you know, stressing out, and they end up blaming themselves, and then things just go really bad because you haven't understood the concept of that this doesn't exist. So and that brings me to the point of priority. So that's where you now learn how to prioritize. And right now my work has to take priority, so which means that family life is probably going to suffer, which means that I'm going to get home and my kids have slept, which means I'm going to leave home before they wake up, maybe for this week because I have a board meeting that's coming up and I need to prep for that, or I have a big project at work and that requires my undivided attention and my time, right, more than usual. So definitely my home life will suffer. There's no balance there, right? Sometimes, yes, my kids have some things that maybe they're ill, or they have a recital, or they have something going on with them that's very important, or they're at a particular very sensitive stage of their life that I need to be present, then my work life will suffer, because that means that I'm going to step back from project, I'm going to step back from some of the assignments, I'm going to take a leave of absence from work just so that I can be there. But what that means is that at that time that I'm giving that attention to my family and my family life, so my work life is certainly taking a backseat, which means that it's likely suffering, right? So, yes. So there is no balance. It's just a matter of saying, which ball do I want to keep in the air at this time, and which ball do I want to drop lower? That is the balance. So when you understand that, then you now realize that, okay, how do I make sure that in the times where I'm not going to be so available, especially if you're a business owner, like I am, I'm a business owner, so I cannot run away from my business. I also have the lives of my employees to think about, their survival and their livelihood to think about. So what have I done? Structure. This is where structure comes in. So I'm running all these businesses, but I'm not attending to this business, all the business affairs on a daily basis, hands-on. I'm not. That's the truth. I would die. It's not even possible, right, to be present and physically present in all these various endeavors at the same time. So I had to ensure that I'd put structures in place in the security community, general manager, operations manager, admin, finance, all of that well recruited staff who are very clear on their deliverables for the company. And then I just get periodic reports. I have regular interface with the general manager, but that's his show. So I've given him a sense of ownership. We're giving all of them a sense of ownership. So this is your company. If we do well, you do well. So they're involved and everybody's clear on what they need to do. I just steer the ship. That's basically what I do. Same thing with Heaven structure. So when people come to the salon, they probably think, why does she have all this staff? I have computers. I have all my admin staff are all graduates. So obviously it's costing me some money to have that quality of staff there. But that's the truth because I want to be able to have a life, right? So I have to invest somewhere. Something has to give. So I have to invest to ensure that whoever I'm putting there as structure is capable and they're able to deliver. So everyone is clear on what they need to do. And then I can step back and I can do other things. That's why I can set up a business. The new business I've just set up, the logistics company, we just recruited. I used the HR company to recruit. Cost me money, but it was well worth it. So I used the HR company to recruit. We're starting off with an accountant from day one. We have a logistics coordinator. We have an admin operation. We have an admin and operations officer. We have a customer service person. We even have our own in-house social media staff. And I say, oh, but that's a lot. And I'm like, yeah, but it's worth it because then I know where I want to take the business to. And I know that I will not be able to sit in there and do the work. So why don't I employ the hands that are going to do the work and help the business scale up very quickly? Because if we gain customer satisfaction quickly, we're going to gain a lot of market share because people now want your business, which will now increase the demand for your services and then give you the ability to scale up and then expand your fleet because you now have a demand, right? And you want to now match it with supply. So I think I learned that very early on from my dad, that the importance of structure. If you want to scale up, if you want to expand, if you want to diversify, you need to really, really understand the concept of structuring your business properly. And not just structuring it in terms of processes and documentation, but structuring in terms of personnel and people, because they're the ones, the people are the business, the people are the reason why your business will be sustainable and why it will experience longevity, not just your process and your documentation.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you mentioned one, the balance, because I actually was going to ask you whether you think a woman can have it all, because I have read somewhere that, I think it was Mark Zuckerberg's wife, that, I think there are five facets of life. You know, there's your family life, there's your work life, I think fitness, friends, and something else, I can't remember. And the fact of the matter is that you just cannot do everything at the same time well. No matter what it is that you're doing, that you're going to have to, like maybe you can focus on two things at a time. And the other three things are kept on the back burner. And then maybe the following week or in a few days, you kind of flip things. So that two other aspects of your life are what you're focusing on, because I mean, it's just a simple truth. And when I read that, I was like, that's really interesting, because there's this whole thing of, oh yeah, women can have it all. And I'm not saying that you can't. I believe it's also Oprah that said that, women can have it all, just not at the same time. You can't do everything well at the same time. There are times where you need to focus more on one thing above the others. And then at other times, you focus on something else above others. So thank you for mentioning that. And I'm also glad that you mentioned your dad, because yes, your dad has been, it's very clear that he has been an inspiration in your life, that you guys are very close. So I think it's clear that yes, he's a businessman. Yes, he's had these companies for a long time, but he's also cultivated a close relationship with his children. And I think that is exemplary. And it's clear that you also have those values where, yes, you're a businesswoman. Yes, you're an entrepreneur. Yes, you're a C-level executive, but yes, you're also a mother. And, it's very clear that you are making sure that all these different parts of your life are fed, not necessarily, again, at the exact same time, but you're doing everything that you can to make sure that that there is a balance of sorts in that sometimes this takes precedence, other times this other thing takes precedence. So thank you very much for mentioning that. And you have mentioned, you know, that you have a nanny for your children. So
yeah,
can you tell us a little bit more about help at home?
Well, I remember when I moved back with them to 2017. They were born in 2017. Had them in America. My mom, when I had them, we were in America for 4 months because they were born early. So they had to celebrate their second month birthday there, so the doctors could evaluate that they were keeping up with their developmental milestones and there were no issues before we were allowed to come back to Nigeria. So coming back, you know, after being away for so long with two kids, my mother-in-law at the time helped me get my first two nannies, because we always knew, okay, we need two nannies to help because I was going to go back to work. So I've always had two nannies, but my nanny that I have today, who's still with me, she joined me in 2017 when the girls were just a few months old. She's been with me since then. And from day one, she always said to me, "Madam, I'm going to be with you till they are five." You know, I thought she was joking. I didn't take her seriously because, I mean, domestic stuff, you know how it is in Nigeria. You can just wake up one day or go home for holiday and then never come back and things like that, even if you've been the best to them and all. So I didn't really hold my breath. But I guess it maybe subconsciously I really prayed for, because I have a very family culture in terms of people that work with me. If you join my workforce, then you're just, our values are that of a family. So same thing in my house. So it's like you become like my younger sister. You know, like a worker, as it were. So while I had changed the second nannies a few times, you know, she just remained steadfast up until now, this very moment. She's still with me. She's the one now primarily looking after my kids, so there's trust there. She's like a second mother to my children. You know, she's now beyond just a nanny, she's family, you know, part and parcel of us. And it's not easy, you know, when you hear of nannies taking care of children anywhere in the world. I don't think it's just in Nigeria or Africa. You hear a lot of horror stories from physical abuse to psychological abuse to even sexual abuse, you know, of minors that you leave in care of children. I had cameras. I do still have cameras all around my house, in the children's room, their living room, their playroom, everywhere, you know, the kitchen, just sort of like a monitor when I was in the office, what's going on in the house, are they smacking my kids and things like that, you know. But thankfully, I've never had that kind of experience. My children are very well adjusted. At least I studied psychology, and then child abuse is something that, oh my God, so I'm very particular about. So I look out for signs. So beyond even trying to catch, I'm looking out for signs within my kids. Are they withdrawn? The child that's usually outspoken, she's suddenly not speaking much. Does she recoil around this person, you know, someone she used to run to before, she doesn't run to her anymore and all of that. So I look out for all those signs. I check my children, their genitalia. Every time I give them a bath and I'm rubbing them cream, I use the opportunity to just check, you know, make sure everything's okay down there. You know, I press it so they see they flinch, because, you know, that kind of, like, I don't know if I'm overboard. I don't know if the other mothers who are as paranoid as I am, if you do have domestic stuff around your kids, or you have to leave them at a time alone, you know, with other people, you do all these checks and stuff. But for me, I think I've been really blessed in terms of nannies or help by having someone who's been with me from when the kids were so young, and me and her have been able to coexist. Now we live, I mean, I'm a single mother, so I'm living in the home, so just me and her and the kids. So she's like my partner now. If that makes any sense. So I had to ask her, are you okay? Today she was lying down, her neck was a bit funny on the chair. I'm like, is your neck not going to pain you like that? So she was, I've been like, okay. So yeah, we're not like one big family unit here, you know, just looking out for the welfare of the kids. I know for a fact that she loves my children. I know for a fact that I can trust her.
and that she would never allow anything come any harm. In fact, there was a time that I traveled and my kids were, one of my daughters fell ill. And it's funny because this particular child, twin, is the one that's most attached to her. This one insists on sleeping with her. Like when she first came, she just latched onto that, to Jaya. So Jaya took a while to walk and she made it a mission that she was going to make sure that Jaya walked and crawled and all of those, met her milestones. So they really bonded. So Jaya was ill. I had just traveled to Lagos that morning. I had arrived Lagos and then they told me that Jaya was ill and I had a meeting. I couldn't come back. I wasn't going to make the last flight. So Jaya was ill, so ill. I had to get my PA to go, you know, assess for herself. And she said, look, she's really ill. I think we should go to the hospital. So they took her to the hospital and peace, my nanny followed her. You know, she went with them and then they admitted the child. So I caught the first flight out, like 7 a.m. flight. So they had to sleep in the hospital. So when I got back the next morning, straight to the hospital and everything. So they were in a shared room, a room that had another child, another sick child, and that child's mother there. So when I arrived, you know, the woman, the mother of the other child, she's just looking at me. So of course I kicked into gear, engaging the doctors and nurses, trying to find out and trying to relieve my nanny so she could go home and take, you know, and take a bit of rest while I took over and everything. So when my nanny left, the woman now turned to me. She's like, please don't be angry with that. Are you the mother of this child? She was asking me. I said, yes. She said, So who is that other woman? I said, that's their nanny. That's her nanny. She said, that's her nanny? I said, yes. She said, wow. That she was so convinced throughout the night that my nanny was my daughter's mother because of the way she held her, cared for her, and everything, like the way she treated her throughout the time that they were in that room together, that she was so convinced that my nanny was the mother of the child. She never believed that she was a nanny and everything. And this is a stranger, a complete stranger. I wasn't there. You know what I mean? A very high stress situation. And my nanny was able to kick in as though this was her own child that she birthed from her loins. So, I mean, for me, that was every confirmation that I needed to know that I was really, really blessed to have her in my life. I don't take her for granted one single bit at all. Every opportunity I have, I show her that I appreciate her. I show her that I'm grateful. I even buy her thank you cards to say thank you, you know, and all of that. So we're... So yes, because we are good to them inadvertently, I feel like you sow those seeds by God's grace will germinate and they will yield good fruit for you.
Thank God that you have someone at home that you can trust so much with your children. Thank God for that. You know, you're really blessed in that arena. You just mentioned that you travel a lot for work. And there's also, you know, having to rely on your nanny. And I wonder, like, have you had to deal with any mom guilt, you know, surrounding having such a high level career and workload and then having to rely on a nanny for a good amount of time for your children?
Yes. I guess these are the things you learn. And then, of course, when you learn, you now pass it on. Just like I've understood the concept of work-life balance and the fact that it doesn't exist. This is another area that I needed to confront and accept. And I try to teach my friends who are new mothers or mothers-to-be or hoping to have their own kids. And they are also chasing their careers or their businesses. And I say to them, okay, my friend's baby shower last year, she was expecting twins. And when it was my turn to speak, the only advice I gave to her was, I said, start learning how to forgive yourself in advance. Because she's very driven as well, very ambitious. So I knew that having kids, she would be almost like me, who would not be 100% available all the time. It's even from when they're babies and when they're young, she will not be able to say, I'm going to take time off. Like how some women are able to do, take 2 years, 3 years and sit at home. Like it's just not in some people's DNA. It's definitely not in my DNA to have done that, you know. So I said to her, you need to learn how to forgive yourself now, even before they come, because there'll be many times when you're going to have to choose and chances are you will not be choosing them. Chances are you will not be choosing them, and you have to get to the point where you can forgive yourself for making that choice, for choosing yourself. So you're choosing between yourself and them, and you choose yourself. So being able to forgive yourself in advance for those times when they come will be something you'll be thankful for. And I've learned how to forgive myself. Yes, definitely, I had that guilt. Like when I was, I think my ex-husband tried so many times and failed woefully to make me feel bad about pursuing my dreams. And there's something that I used to always say to him and to anybody who I felt was having a certain kind of conversation with me. And I said to them, my name is Iro. I'm a person, I'm a human being. I'm not just somebody's wife. Neither am I just somebody's mother. I am Iro. I have dreams. I have goals. I have passion. I have interest. I have vision. And I want to explore those things. I have potential. I have destiny. I have purpose. I want to fulfill them. So don't just put me in a box of, oh, don't you know you're somebody's wife? Or don't you know you're somebody's mother? I'm so much more than that. And because I recognize that, I'm able to realize that to be able to be all those things, to be able to fulfill all those things, I'm going to have to sometimes choose myself. I'm going to have to sometimes choose myself, and it's okay, and that's okay. So I choose myself, not at the detriment of course of my kids, not at the point where my kids are neglected or they have absolutely no time with me and I'm just choosing myself and being selfish. No, but I'm saying that there are times when I must choose myself, and I'm okay choosing myself in those times. And there are times when I must choose my children over my work or over my business. And I am also okay choosing my children at that time, even though I know that it could have some other knock-on effects on the things that I have chosen not to choose, if that makes any sense. So I think learning how to forgive yourself in those times early, you have to really have understanding. You know, the Bible says, you know, pray that my people get knowledge, and above all, they get understanding. It's not just about having information or getting knowledge. If you do not understand, and if you don't have a deep understanding of that information or the knowledge that you have, it's almost like it's useless. It's just words that you know, but you don't understand it, so you cannot apply it as it should be applied. So understanding is extremely, extremely key in saying that. Tying what you just asked me about forgiving yourself and guilt to understanding the concept of the non-existence of work-life balance. It's almost like intertwined. So if you understand that, then you learn how to forgive yourself. You know that, I miss you guys, I'm going to miss you guys, but I have to go to Biosa because I have a 3-day speaking engagement for work. And it's going to be good for my profile. It's going to be good for where I see myself going in the next few years. And it's going to be good for you because then I can send you to Yale and Harvard or any other Ivy League school that you want to go to. So allow mommy go, and mommy's going to be back. Mommy loves you. Mommy's going to call you. She was going to do a video call, and you're in very good hands. And mommy's going to go for 3 days. They're not going to die. They didn't die. I've done that. Like, okay, now I'm COVID and I'm home and I'm present, right? All this while that I had to travel and I had to work and go home and come back late and things like that. My kids didn't die. They're okay. I can see that they're very okay now as I'm interacting with them and I'm engaging with them. I can see that they're very okay. But guess what? We had holidays. We took holidays together. We had time. I used to take my 30 days leave. I'm entitled to 30 days leave from work. And I take it every year. I take it as one lump sum. Last year in August, all of August, I took time off work. And I moved. In fact, I went to Lagos with the girls. And we were in Lagos for the entire month of August. So I was not even in Port Harcourt. There was no temptation to walk into heaven, to go do one business activity. No, so that was me saying, being intentional about it, to say I'm choosing my children and I'm going to be intentional and I'm going to go away from here. So there is no reason to even say, oh, I'll be right back. No, I'm in Lagos. I have no business activity in Lagos. It's just me and you children. Let's have fun for 4 weeks.
I absolutely loved everything about your answer. There was a point there was a point where I was waving an invisible handkerchief, like, yes, preach it.
We have to be truthful. We have to tell ourselves the truth. The truth is, I don't come and have some fancy thing that we know doesn't work or is not realistic. We have to tell ourselves the truth that this is reality. And the truth is, we're not the first to toe this line. We're not the first to be working mothers. We're not the first to be single working mothers, right? And we will not be the last. But let's help the next generation who's coming to understand that they don't need to beat themselves up. To understand that they truly can have it all if they want, if they have a proper understanding of what work and life, how it can be balanced. and how to forgive themselves and how they can prioritize and when they should prioritize and how they can choose themselves, and it's okay for them to choose themselves.
Mm-hmm. I love to preach it. I love it, Iro. Iro the preacher.
Oh my days.
I know that in the middle of all your busyness with work and with your girls, I'm pretty sure you still make time for self-care. So what kind of things do you do around self-care, and how do you make that time for yourself?
So to be very, very frank with you, it's very interesting. My idea of self-care before, probably this year or maybe last year, actually, towards the end of last year, my idea of self-care was just coming home after a long day, after then I'm just flopping out on the couch and renting a movie on DSTV or watching my favorite channel, Universal Channel 117, all my crime series and everything, and then maybe having a glass of sweet red wine or Bailey's Irish Cream. For me, that was self-care. Like that time of just doing nothing, not looking at my phone, not checking emails, nothing, just being, you know. That was my idea of self-care until towards the end of last year. I was just like, you know, that I had never used, so in my spa I have a steam room, like a proper steam bathroom. We have a Moroccan hammam service. I go for the route sometimes, get a massage maybe once in like 3 months when I feel like I can squeeze in time. But I had never used my steam bath. My spa was set up in 2017 and I had never used my steam bath before.
Oh, wow.
I had never received a Moroccan hammam in my spa before. I had never even received a body scrub. Maybe I had done a facial like 2 or 3 times because of time. So I decided, you know what? Every Sunday is now my self-care day. Religiously, every Sunday. Today, in fact, at 1 o'clock today, I have booked my massage. After my massage, I have my pedicure scheduled. Once I'm done talking to you, I'm heading over to the spa every Sunday. It's either I'm getting a massage and pedicure, or I'm getting a body scrub treatment, or I'm getting a body scrub and a pedicure. And a massage, and I'm getting and I'm using the steam room so I can help with easing stress and everything. Very soon I'll start soaking that. They've just come up with a new jacuzzi detox treatment, which I'm going to go and help them test out and try. So I said, how can I own a spa and I can't even make time out because I'm so busy? How busy can I be? So I dedicated Sundays. So every Sunday now, religiously, I must go to my spa and I must get one treatment, or the salon, and get one treatment or the other that is just for me, for Iro, and that's Iro's time. So I still get my evenings, especially when it's been such a tough day negotiating your rates with the IOCs, the oil companies, and engaging doing all kinds of firefighting activities. One just needs that glass of red wine. Mm-hmm. One just needs that glass of Bailey's. So I still indulge in those from time to time and flop on my couch, but I no longer define that as self-care. For me, that Sunday visit, I look forward to my Sunday spa treat. So yes, if you're able to make out time to just be for you and just turn off my phones during that time, put them in my bag, put it away. Anything that's happening during that time can happen. When I'm done, then I can come back to the world and then join the rest of civilization. But that time of just getting away is very important. Another thing that I do now, I started doing it in May, is that I'm tired taking walks. Before, my walks initially started off like, I'm trying to reach my 10,000 or my 15,000 steps and blah, blah, blah. But over time, I realized the effect it had on my mental state. When I'm taking my walks, I can be walking for 2-3 hours in the evenings around my estate. And when I'm on those walks, I find that I'm thinking about a lot of things. I'm strategizing. Ideas are coming to me. Solutions are coming to me. You know, I'm able to analyze and process maybe things that have happened that I hadn't had time to really think about. So it became very therapeutic for me. And then the month of July, because of all the new activities with the business and everything that was going on, I had stopped walking. But I started feeling so stressed out. A few days ago, I picked up walking again, and then I could immediately see the difference of why I needed to sort of get back on the walking bandwagon. So for me, that's also self-care, taking that time off. Well, besides from just walking on my body, because it's helped me lose weight, mm-hmm. It's helped me lose weight in my mind as well. So my mental state is all the better for it.
Hero, you are amazing.
Thank you.
You are inspiring. You are a shining light. Thank I'm not saying so any of these things lightly. Like, you are, I mean, I'm a few years older than you, but I want to be like you when I grow up. If that makes sense. I want to be like you when I grow up.
No, but thank you so much. Thank you so much, Anita.
You are doing so amazingly well, and I'm so glad that I got this opportunity to talk with you for the podcast. Like, I know for sure that the people, the women, and even men who listen to this episode will be inspired, and I know that they'll at least take away a few nuggets. From you, and I'm just so thankful for gracing me. Wasn't just 2 days ago that I was like, oh hey,
yeah, you reached out to me. Yeah. Yeah, and I thought, oh, this should be nice. It should be a nice conversation.
I like
honest, straightforward conversations. They're better than the planned ones where you have to go prepare your answers. You know, where you can speak from your heart. I think people can relate better, you know, with that.
Yeah. I agree, and I thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Where can people find you online?
So I am on Instagram and I am on Twitter, but to be honest, I barely use Twitter, so I'm still trying to catch up with all the various social media platforms, but I love my Instagram. So you can find me on Instagram, Hero Haven. So it's H-I-R-O. H-A-I-R-V-E-N at Hero Haven on Instagram.
And where can people follow Haven as well?
So it's Haven, H-A-I-R-V-E-N, Hair Care on Instagram. So at Haven Hair Care.
Awesome. And if you guys are in, if you're listening from Port Harcourt, I know I have one or two listeners in Port Harcourt, so you guys should definitely check out the spa.
Yay.
In my sand. When did you open the spa?
So the salon was open in 2015, and then when we expanded in 2017, we now opened the spa.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. But thank you again for this conversation. I wish you all of the very best. I mean, yeah, and I will still be in contact now. We're always in contact.
Yes, of course. We'll find ourselves. Thank you so much, Anita, for having me, and all of my love to Coco.
Thank you. One of these days, when COVID allows us,
you will come by so that I can give you some self-care treats at the spa as well. While Coco will be playing with her sisters.
Right. Thank you again for this conversation. God bless.
God bless you too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Out of everything you could be doing, you chose to spend the time with me, and I am truly grateful. Please follow us on social media at Mommy Oyoyo, which is MommyOyoyo. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to send us feedback and suggestions that way or via our email at mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast on your favorite podcast players. Rate and review the podcast. And finally, don't keep this goodness to yourself. Share the Mommy Oyoyo podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and more. The Mommy Oyoyo podcast, sharing experiences of African motherhood. Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo. See you next time.